Okay, so the topic that we're going to do today is an Agarata taken from the Gemara in Bava Basra. And what we're going to see is what Chazal do over here in the Agarata and the Gemara. Most of the time when we want to grow in something, when we want to work on ourselves, so you'll open up a Musar Sefer, you'll open up a Machshava Sefer, and really all of those ideas from the Bali Musar Bar Machshava really taken from Chazal in the Agarata. And all of the things that we'll see, that we see coming out from the Bali Musar Bar Machshava are really stemming from Chazal in the Agarata portion in the Gemara. So what we're going to do today is take a look at one of these little stories in the Agarata and see what the message that Chazal have for us is. And obviously there's a lot of depth and meaning behind these stories, or else why would Chazal be bringing stories for us? That's not what we picture the Gemara to be. It's really like about halacha and what we should be doing, but the Agarata is where we see how we should be acting. Okay, so let's look at the Gemara in Bava Basra. Amar Rabba, Ishtu'ule Nichutayama. Rabba said, I conversed with it, I met upon Nichutayama, those, like the sailors, those who go down to the sea. Haigal Dimitra Lisfina, and what did they tell him? So the sailors told Rabba, that wave, Dimitra Lisfina, that is gonna sink the ship, Mitchaze, it appears, like Chaze means to see, it appears, Kitsutisa Dunura, like a flaming fire, Chivarta Beresha, but at its resha, at its tip, Chivarta, it's white. But if you hit it with a club that's engraved upon it, but if you hit it with a stick that has engraved upon it these three psukim, v'nayach. So then the wave will subside and it will rest and it won't sink the ship. Okay, what is going on over here? So the Bir Hagra, the Vilna Gaon, talks about what is this ship? What is the water? So the Vilna Gaon says, Ha'olam Hazeh Nikrayam. This world is called, is compared to in the Lashon of Chazal, like the water, like an ocean. V'haguf Nikraniya. And all of the people in the world, all of our bodies, that's like the ship. And through the ship, that's how the sailors go into the water. That's how the sailors go into the world. Who are the sailors in the ship? The sailors in the ship, that's the neshama. So, the ayada neshama yoredet bayam ba'olam hazeh. Ve'otam shekol ma'asem tamid be'iskei ba'olam hazeh. And the people who are always involved in the physical world, meaning we're living in the physical world of olam hazeh, nikra'im yoredei hayam. Those are called the sailors, the people who go down. Ve'kol ha'tzarot shevim ha'alav nikra'im galim. And all of the tzarot that happen in this world, the hardships, the challenges, there's sickness in the world, there's challenges, there's poverty, there's people that have shidduchim problems, there's people that have fertility problems, there's people that have depression problems, there's people that aren't well mentally or physically. So those are all different waves. Those are like the waves, the pressures, the hard things that come about. A ship's in the ocean and then a lot of waves comes. Those are the hard, those are the challenges that we experience in life. What the Gemara tells us then is that there's one wave that the sailors tell Rabba about. There's one wave that has the ability to sink the ship, to push it down. What wave does that look like? So this wave that mitzchazi ki tzitzisa dimura, it looks like this is the most dangerous wave. All the other waves, all the other pressures, all the other challenges, they're hard, they're challenging, but there's one wave that's going to sink the ship. You see that wave, beware, right? Be careful. That's the wave that looks like a flaming fire. And what's at the tip of it? The tip of it is white, okay? So what is going on over here? But if you hit that wave with this special stick that says on it these three things, so then you'll be good, the wave will go down, and you'll be able to smooth sail and get to your destination, okay? So what is going on here? Clearly this Gemara has a lot of meaning underneath it. So the Vilna Gaon already told us, right? The ship is the body, the sailors are the neshama, the world is the yam, and the waves are like the pressures and the hardships and challenges that we go through in life. So what is this one wave though? What's that one wave that's like the most dangerous, that's the scariest, that really has the ability to put a person under, to drown? So it looks like a fire. So what's a fire? So there's actually another Gemara in Kiddushin. If you look right underneath the third source, the Gemara over here has a different Agata, and we see from here what the fire is referring to, this wave that looks like a fire. There was a group of captives, women captives, who were taken to this place called Neharda. It's Kinu the Babe of Amram Chasida. They were taken to the home of Rav Amram Chasida. Ishkuli Darga Mikaimahim, and they take away the ladder leading up to the captives, meaning it's like what it appears to be that there were like these women captives, like in the attic somehow, and they take away the ladder so that they're stuck there, right? They can't get down. Bahadi Daka Chaf Achad Minayhu Nafa Nahor Be Ipuma. There was one time that Rav Amram Chasida like got a glimpse of one of the women, and there was like a light shining from her face. Shakli Rav Amram Nadarga Dulo Havuya Yechalim Be'Esara the Midlay. And so what does Rav Amram do? He takes the ladder, the ladder that 10 people weren't able to drag. It was such a heavy, big thing. And he's able to drag it all by himself. And he starts to go on his way, right, to this woman, this beautiful, gorgeous woman. When he gets like almost close to her, he grabs a hold of himself. He's like almost in a trance, like going to this woman who he had caught a glimpse of, and he catches himself. And what does he do? Ramakala, he raises his voice, Nurbe Amram, and what does he scream out? He screams out, there's a fire in the house of Amram. Atu Rabbanan, so the other Rabbanan come along. Amulek Siftinan, you've embarrassed us, right? Like, you're going to go sin with one of these women? Amar Lahu, so he says to them, Muta Tichsufu Be Amram Ba Amah Hadin. It's better that the house of Amram should be embarrassed in this world. And it's the house of Amram shouldn't be embarrassed like in the coming world in Olam Haba. Ishta is dinafik mina. He davens that like the Yetzer Hara, that like this desire he had, this Yetzer Hara that he had to be with this woman, dinafik mina, should leave him, get out of here. Nafak mina kiyam luda zindura. And what comes out of him? It comes out of him, this Yetzer Hara comes out of him, kiyamuza dinura, like a pillar of nura, a fire, right? Just like we had in our Gemara on top, the Gemara in Baba Basra. What does that wave look like? The most dangerous wave that could sink the ship? The most dangerous wave looks like a flaming fire. What comes out of Rabbi Amram, Chasida? Amuda Tmura, this flame, this fire. Amarle Khazi the Atmura the Anna Bisha the Anna Adifna Minafe, and he says to like his Yetzer Hara, look, you're a fire and I'm flesh and I'm like better than you. And so clearly in Chazal's terminology, what is a fire? What's a fire? The Yetzer Hara. Okay? And so this is the first thing that we're seeing about Argamar and Baba Basha on top, that the wave that's gonna be able to sink the ship is the Yetzer Hara. All the other waves, they're dangerous, right? Sickness, it's dangerous. It could cause a person a big weakening, right? That they're not as strong as they used to be. Poverty, it could cause a person to be weak. The strongest wave that could sink a person, that could put them under, that's the Yetzer Hara. That's this flaming fire that Chazal used, the fire is the Yetzer Hara. But not just the flaming fire. What did this flaming fire look like? So the Gemara said, Chivurta Bereisha. What did it look like? But the tip of the fire was white. What does that mean? So, meaning the fire was white, it looked pure. It didn't look like a fire. It didn't look scary. White is like purity. That's the most dangerous kind of fire. The most dangerous kind of Yetzer Hara isn't the one that like looks like this big flaming fire and it's red and bristle and you know like and it's gonna come crash and down. No, what does it look like? It's white, it's gentle, it's fluffy, right? It's that's the most dangerous kind. That's the one that's the worst. And this we see actually all over Chazal, right? That the ones that are like, we see this like by a pig, right? A chazir, look at the Medrash Rabba. Chazir b'shar shu rovets motzita fava mer ve'usha nitzahor, right? The pig, what does it do? When it crouches down, it takes out its hooves. Its hooves are split. So it looks like what? Omer like, oh look, I'm kosher, I'm tahor, but really it doesn't chew its cud and it's like a very trained animal. But that's the one that's like the trickiest, that's the one that's the worst, because on the outside it looks fine, it looks kosher, it looks like it's not so dangerous. Those are the ones that are the most dangerous of all. And this is also the very well-known Beis Halevi and Parshas VaYishlach, Bereishis Perek Lamed Bet, where he comments on the pasuk right underneath over there. Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad Esav. When Yaakov is coming to approach Esav to fight with him, so he daven's to Hashem, Hashem save me miyad achi miyad Esav. So the Beis Halevi comments like, why is there a redundancy? Why not just like say Hatzileni na miyad Esav or Hatzileni na miyad achi? So the Beis Halevi comments, no, there's two types of enemies. There's like the enemy that looks like Esav, and there's the enemy that looks like Achi. There's the enemy that looks like my brother. And the Beis Halevi says very explicitly, which is the one that's much worse? The one that's much worse is the one that's Miyad Achi, because you don't even know to be careful from it. You don't even know that it's bad, and it's the most dangerous of all. Okay? Look at the Ramchal underneath Mesias Hashem, so he talks about this also in the sense of the Yetzer Hara. Ki hinei choshach halayla shnei minei tu'uyot afshay lal shigvil mea in ha'adam. Darkness at night, right? And darkness always implies like a lack of clarity. You don't know the right way to go. You don't know the right decision to make. You don't know like the proper route, the right thing to do. So what's bad about darkness? Not just physical darkness, but like metaphysical darkness, right? That symbolic darkness. So darkness could cause a person two mistakes. It could like cover your eyes, it blocks your eyes, so you don't see what's in front of you at all. Or what else could it do? So there's a pillar in front of you, right? So it could, the darkness could block you from seeing the pillar, and you could bang into the pillar. Or what could else the darkness do? It could mistake you into thinking that this pillar is what? A person. But Adam ki'il hu amud, and the person looks like a pillar. Kein chumriyat v'gash miyad ha'olam hazeh. Hinei hu choshach halayla le'in ha'seich, v'gorim lo shtei tuyo. Ha'chad eino maniach lo shereh ha'mishalot shabadach ha'olam. The two things the Yetzer Hara does for us is, number one, it doesn't allow you to see the stumbling blocks in this world, meaning it puts you in the dark. You don't see that this is going to be a stumbling block, that this is going to cause a person to fall. That's one thing that the darkness could do, like the lack of clarity. And so therefore, a foolish person walks along like feeling so secure, but then they fall without, like they were never even scared because they never even saw that like that obstacle in front of them because the darkness blocked it out. That's one type of thing that the Yetzer Hara could do, the darkness. But the second mistake, and the Ramchal says explicitly, this one is much worse than the first kind. It takes your vision and it blinds it into thinking that what? That the bad is really good. Just like in the dark, you could think, oh, it's a person, there's a scary man there, and it's really like, you know, like a jacket on a chair, you know, and it's not a man. But like you think that like the good is bad and the bad is good, that's what the Yisahara could do. You see something that's bad and the Yisahara makes you think, no, it's really good. I could do something good with this. This is really good. No, it has so many good purposes. And really, what is it? Really, it could be a Yetzer Hara just mistakenly blinding you into thinking that it's a good thing. Okay? Matov ke'ilu hura, and the good thing looks like it's a bad thing. Like, why are they doing this? Like, it makes you look like the Yetzer Hara turns it into something bad. And this is even more dangerous. Why? Because you hold on to those things. The first case where, like, you just don't see it, so then you fall down, right? Like, you didn't see there was a pillar there, there was an obstacle there, oh, but then you saw it, and then you fell down, right? But when you, the Yetzer Hara turns the darkness from the looking like it's something good, like from something bad, and it makes it to look like something good, from bad to good, so then, like, you keep being involved in that, and, like, you keep walking in that way, that's the most dangerous of all, the white tip. Right? The flame, the wave that looks like a flame but with a white tip, that's the most dangerous of all. That's the one that has the ability to sink the ship. That's the one that takes the people down. It's not enough, right, that like this person doesn't see the truth in front of their eyes because it's dark. But no, they see all these like proofs. No, really, it's good, right? And they use it to prove how these bad things are really good, and to like it feeds into like their false perspective. And this is what eventually leads to their downfall. Okay, and so this is that dangerous wave. This is what the seers tell Rava. That's the one wave. You reach this wave. Be very careful of that wave, right? Hit it, get rid of it, right? The wave that looks like a fire, that with the white tip, that looks pure, that looks good. It's an illusion, right? It's really bad. That's the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara looks good. It looks makes it, the bad things into good things. So what's the goal then? So the goal then is to go through the Yam, to get through the water, to get through Olam Hazeh. But what? But to overcome all of these obstacles, to overcome like that wave, and that wave comes upon us not just once in our life. We see that wave often, unfortunately, that wave that looks like a fire with the white tip, and it doesn't look so scary, but that's the most dangerous one of all. That's our goal in life. Our goal in life is to get through the water to the other side, right? Meaning to Olam Haba. And to be able to get through without the wave sinking us, but to us to hit the wave. So just for a second, look at the Ramchal again, the beginning of Perek Aleph in Mitzvos Rishon. Nimtzeinu medim ki ikar mitzvah ha'ezem ba'olam hazeh hu rak l'kayem mitzvah la'avod v'la'amud b'nisayon, right? The purpose of man in this world, his existence in this world is what? To do mitzvah, to serve Hashem v'la'amud b'nisayon, and to stand tall through what? Through challenges, through nisyono, through the waves. There's going to be waves. That's what it means to go on a voyage, to go in the water. Of course there's waves. There's no such thing as like going a long journey without waves. There's always waves. The goal is lamud b'nisayon, to not let the waves sink you, to not let the waves flood your ship so that it drowns. Lamud b'nisayon, the goal is to get through life and to overcome nisyono. You think you're going to have the life without nisyono, without challenges? There's always challenges. We were put onto this world to lamud b'nisayon, to experience those challenges, but to come out of them standing tall without them sinking us. The hanaot halam in ra'oy shiyelo ela le'ezer le'usiyua bava l'shiyelo nachat ruch yishuv dat l'man yuchal l'fano li'bel ha'avadah hazonim etalav. And the goal of this world is to take the hanaot halam, to take these pleasures of the world and to use them to get you to the other side instead of the opposite, instead of letting them sink you. Okay? So what does the Gemara do next? So then our Gemara, our little story that we started with on top, you see that dangerous wave with the white tip, so what should you do to it? Oh, hit it with a stick. That's what the sailors told us, right? That's what the sailors told us. You should hit it with a stick. And what's engraved on the stick? Three things. You hit it with that stick that says those three things, the wave will rest, right? It's not going to be able to get you anywhere, right? You'll be able to be victorious over it. So what are these three things? How are these going to help the wave to subside? So these are going to be the three steps to overcome this wave, right? To overcome this very dangerous wave of the Yetzer Hara with the white tip that looks pure, that looks not dangerous. So what's Ehaka Asher Ehaka? So these are these parshas written in Parshas HaShavua. So when we read recently in Parshas Shmot, when Moshe, right, first meets Hashem at the Snebo Erba Ish, so Hashem tells him, you have a mission, you have to go back to Am Yisrael, you have to save them, take them out. Look what Moshe says to Hashem. Yom Moshe El Halakim, Hine Anochi Ba Al Bnei Sha'ab, I'm writing them, Elokei Avotechem Shlachani Alechem. I'm going to go to Bnei Sha'ab, I'm going to tell them, like, the God of your forefathers appeared to me, he sent me, Ramuli Mashmo, and they're going to ask me, well, who is he? What's his name? Ma Omar Alehem. So Moshe asks Hashem, what should I say to them? V'yomer Elokim Moshe, Ehaka Asher Ehaka. You should say to them, Ehaka Asher Ehaka, that's my name. V'yomer Kot Tamar Bnei Yisrael, Ehaka Shlachani Alechem. That's what you should say to Bnei Yisrael. Ehaka, right? Ehaka Asher Ehaka. He's the one who sent me to you. Okay? This is the wave. This is what's going to put the Yetzer Hara down. That's what the Gemara is referring to. Ehekesh, ehekesh. The first thing on the stick is you should know ehekesh, asher ehekesh. That's the first thing the first step into getting the wave to subside. Why? How does this put the wave down? Okay. So what's ehekesh, asher ehekesh? What does that represent? Let's look at the Gemara in Brachos, commenting on that. Ehekesh, asher ehekesh. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Lech amor l'Mishael, ani hayiti imachem b'shibud zeh, V'ni ehaya imachan b'shibur machias. What does ehakash or ehaka represent? Exactly what the Gemara just said, right? I was with you, right, in this shibur machias, right? Just like I'm with you now, right? And I'm saving you now. Ehaka asharaka. I will be with you then, in the future, just like I was with you when I took you out of Mitzrayim. That's what Ehaka Asher Ehaka means. Meaning, what is this name of Hashem kind of foreboding to Am Yisrael? Excellent. Beautiful. Meaning, there's going to be future challenges. This isn't the end of it, right? Hashem's saving us now. We're coming out of Sheba Mitzrayim, of this horrible Holocaust, and that's what they say Mitzrayim was. We don't have all the details of it, right? We have the details. We don't have the statistics and the numbers necessarily like we do about the recent Holocaust, but that's what it was. Ehaka Asherka. But just like Hashem took us out of that, Hashem's going to take us out of future ones too. What does that mean? So look at what the Medrash Shemoy says. So that's not such a pleasant feeling, maybe, for them to know, like, okay, we're coming out of this one, but there's more ahead. There's going to be future ones in front of us. So where is this coming from? The Medrash, the famous Medrash. So the Yachat Shemoy talks about Asa. Hachoza Shazalachem, right at the bottom. Hachodesh Hazalachan, who dachtev, kodadi hinezabar, Rabbi Huzamer, kodadi, zen Moshe. B'sha'asha Mar Yisrael, b'chodesh Hazal, tenegalim. And Moshe said to Am Yisrael, I'm going to redeem you in this month. Amar le Moshe, ben Ahayach, and Negalim. They don't believe in Moshe. How are you going to save us now? Didn't Hashem promise Avram Avinu that we're going to be slaves for how long? 400 years? Has it been 400 years then they're in Mitzrayim? No. V'lo in yadinu el arishet. It's only been 210 years that they've been serving. Amar le ho'il v'hu chafetz b'gulatchem. Uno ma'vi b'chashbonatechem. Nope. So Moshe answers them, no, Hashem wants to save you now? Don't worry about the cheshbono that, like, it was only 210 years out of the 400. Ela midaleg al harin, midaleg al hakatzim al cheshbono. He, like, you know, he jumps over the mountains. He jumps over all of the calculations. Al ha'avirim u'b'chodesh hazatem negalim. And you're going to be saved in this month of Chodesh Nisan. Okay? So, the Mefarshim explained this message to me, that what was going on over here? that because really we had more time to serve, that's what obligates there to be more Goliath, because we didn't fill our time, so we have to fill our time in the future, okay? We didn't serve the 400 years, so in the future, like there's going to be another galus, there's going to be another Holocaust. But what? Ahaka asher ahaka. Just like in this one, why does Hashem save us now? Just because like he was feeling happy that day, he was in a good mood? So why does he save us now? So the Arizal brings down also a very famous idea that what were the Bnei Israel experiencing? So they were in the lowest level, the 49th level of Tama. And had Hashem waited, right, even a little bit longer, so then what would have happened? They would have gone to the 50th level of Tama, and from that 50th level there would have been no redeeming. And so that's impossible. Hashem saves us, right? Just like Hashem saved us during Geulat Mitzrayim, and He won't let us sink. If we would have gone to the 50th level, what would have happened? We would have sunk, right? We would have been sunk, and our ship would have gone down with no chance of ever rising again. Did Hashem let that happen? No, there's no way, Hashem says. Like, He saves us before it's too late. Ehekesh or ehekesh. Just like you saw that Hashem saved us during Yitziat Mitzrayim, you should know every other future challenge that you're going to have, where it's going to be so hard, and you're going to feel like, there's no way I could get out of this. There's no way I'm going to be safe from this. I'm too far down already. It's too hard for me to get out of this. I'm so low already. I already, like, you know, went down this level, and this level, and this level, and this level. There's no hope. The first level, the first way that we, the first step really, the first step to beating the Yetzer Hara is to know that there's always hope. Hashem is going to save you. Hashem will not let you sink to the lowest level. There's no way he'll let us. Just like he didn't let us sink during Shiva Mitzrayim, he didn't let us get to that 50th level, so too he'll never let us sink in the future. And so if you're going to be depressed and feel like, you know, I already did this and I already did this, how am I going to come out of it? Like, it's too late already, like I didn't start off on the right foot, how am I going to come back to it now? So then we're already messing up the first step. The first step is we have to believe in Hashem that He's going to save us, that Hashem's going to help us, just like He helped us in the time and He didn't let us sink, so too will He help us in the future, okay? That's the first step. What's the second step? So what's the next thing written on the stick? The first thing is Ehecha Sherecha. What's the next thing? Ka Hashem Tzavakos. What does that mean? Okay, Ka Hashem Tzavakos. So look at the back of the page. Ka Hashem Tzavakos, right? What's Ka? Yud Kei, that's one of the names of Hashem. Hashem, Ka, like Hashem is Ka, Yud Kei. Tzavakos, what's Tzavakos? Like, what's Tzavakos?
The God of War.
Good, like, meaning Hashem's army, like Tzava, right? Tzavakos is good, like Hashem's legion, meaning His army, His soldiers, right? Ka Hashem Tzavakos, the army of Hashem, but it's Ka, right? Yud Kei. What does that mean? So look what the Gemara says about that name of Hashem, Yud-Kei. Ma'ed Dichtiv, it says in Yishayahu, Bitzchu b'Hashem Adayad, trust in Hashem Adayad, always, ki b'ka Hashem, because b'ka Hashem, right? Yud-Kei, in the Yud-Kei, Hashem Tzor Olamim, that's like, Hashem is like going to be a rock forever. Anyone who trusts Hashem and they put all their trust in Hashem, he has like a covering, a protection in this world and in the next world. Why does it say ki bika Hashem? In Hashem, right? And not just ka Hashem to remember that Yud-Kei, Hashem, is like the rock who's strong forever. Why is it Bika, big Yud Kei, in Yud Kei? So look what the Gemara says. Kedidah Hashem Yehuda Bar Ilai, Ilu Shnei Olamot Shabarav Karsh Baruch Hu, Yud Kei, big Yud Kei, that's referring to the two worlds that Hashem made. Echad Behei, the Echad Beyud. Hashem made two worlds. Which worlds did he make? He made one world with a hay and one world with a yid. Then your day in Ha'olam Abad Yud, the Ha'olam Hazeb Hay. I don't know, is this world with a hay or is this world with a yid? Is the next world with a hay or is the next world with a yid? In Ha'olam Hazeb Yud, the Ha'olam Abad Hay. Which one is it? Kishahu Omer, Ila Tozad Hashemayim Ba'aretz Bihi Baram. But when we see the passage in Bereshis Perek Bet, Ila Tozad Hashemayim Bihi Baram, Atakri Bihi Baram, Ela Bihi Baram. How did Hashem make Shemayim Ba'aretz? Behei Baram. You see that word? Bihi Baram? Bihi Baram. How did he make this world? With the hay. Meaning he created this world with the hay. Have you heard? Ha'olam Hazeb Behei. He created this world with the hay. Ba'olam Abad the Yid. And he created the next world with the Yid. So this is the secret to overcoming the Sahara, right? Ki b'ka Hashem tevakos, Yud Kei, and Yud Kei is referring to what? Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. So Hey is the Olam Hazeh, Yud is Olam Haba. So the Maharal, in his Pirshan Perkei Avos, is Derech Haim, so he gets very into the letters and the significance of each one of the letters in the alphabet. So he says, what's Yud? So Olam Haba is created with the Yud. Why? Yeah, why?
I just heard an idea of Yud that, in the Torah, like, if you have any part of the letter erased, like, it's not kosher, but a Yud represents a Jew, that if you erase, like, any of it, like, as long as there's still a little line,
there's a
like,
little,
it's
like,
still
yid,
kosher.
Yid.
So,
like,
simply,
it's
like, represented
yid.
A Yud.
Okay, so maybe it's like the pizzolin.
But that doesn't have to do
that. Okay, so that's what good the Maharal says. I just brought one part of it, but there are a lot of ideas. I'm sure that is part of it. Ha'olam haba nivra b'yud. Mipnei kiyun mispara asara, shemispara asara sheyach l'chol davar sheyesh l'mal l'kedusha l'kach ha'shchina mispara. So number one, 10 represents total, like, completeness, davar shebekedusha. That's why 10 people form a minion. That's when the shchina is shura. What's 10? 10 is complete. All of our numbers are in cycles of 10, meaning we have digits 1 to 9, and then we're, and what's 10? 10 is completion. After 10, what do you get to? 11. What's 11? It's like 10 plus 1. It's really just the 1, right? 12 is just like the 2-digit again. 3 is the 3-digit. 4 is the 4-digit. 10 is completion. When you have a minion of 10 people, so there's an 11th person. Is he an 11th person? No, any extras just become part of that like blob of 10, right? It's not like, you know, 10 is the same as 1,000. The minion doesn't change if it's 10 people or 1,000 people. If it's 10 people or 13 people, it's 10 people or it's 6 million people, right? 10 is complete. It doesn't matter how many you add. You take away 1 from 10, though, so no matter, right? So 9 people is incomplete. 10 represents total shleimus and total completeness, and so 10 represents good, represents Olam Haba, number one for that. The Shechinah Shura represents complete, total completeness. It also is, maybe this is what you're referring to, Marcella, that Yud is the smallest letter of all of the letters of the Aleph Beis, meaning it's like barely physical. It's spiritual. It's like touching on the spiritual. It's a physical letter because we need a letter to represent it. But it's the least physical of all the letters. It's the smallest thing, and it's completely yasher. It's completely straight and clear what it is. And so for all of those reasons, the Yud represents spirituality. The Yud represents Olam Haba. The Yud represents completeness. The Yud represents like the goal of everything. And so Olam Haba is created with the Yud. Okay, what is Olam Hazeh? So Olam Hazeh was created with what? With the hay. So what does that mean? So look also the Derech Haim, the third line over there, the Maharal. The hay, he dalid b'toch ha-dalid yesh bo yud. So what's a hay really? So the Maharal says a hay is really what? A hay is really a dalid with the yud underneath it. That's what a hay is. You see? Okay, so that's what a hay represents. And the Olam Hazeh was created with the hay. So the basically like the Dalet on top and surrounding and the Yid underneath. So the what's the Dalet then of the hay? The Yesh Hazeh, look at the Maharal again. The Yesh Hazeh, Ki Hazeh, Maharal, Rucha, V'Orach, Kasher, B'Tzur Hazeh, Kav, Nimshach, V'Rucha. The Dalet represents there's like a line going across. The kav nimshach ba'orach and the line going up and down, the zehu ruach ha'orach. that represents physicality. And he goes into it a lot. I just brought a few parts of it. It represents like the four corners of the earth. It represents the four directions of the world, north, west, east, and south. Dalet represents the physicality, the physical world, the length and the width. Umura has a var hazal, hit pashtut hashetach la'orach uberuchad. Piadal marat hit pashtut hashetach la'orach uberuchad. Shehu hatzalad alam hazeh hakashmei. The dal represents the physical world. The yud represents the spiritual world. And the dal represents the physical world, the four corners of the earth, the four directions in the world. So what's a hay? This world wasn't created with a dalet. What was this world created with? A hey, why? Because this world is physical. But what's hidden under the Dalet? What's hidden under the Dalet is the Yud. What's hidden under the Dalet is like the spiritual, is the is like Olam Haba, is Hashem, right? Hashem's Yud, right? Hashem is the Yud. So the goal of this world is to do what? The goal of this world is to like unmask the spiritual, is to recognize that under the Dalet, that under the physical layer of everything, is hidden the Yid, is hidden the spiritual, that Hashem really is in control. That it looks like physical, because the physical's on top and the physical's around it, but you think it's just the physical? Uh-uh. You're missing the Yid. If you're only seeing the physical, then you're defeating the purpose of the world. The world is created with the hay. Really underlying everything is Hashem. Hashem is hidden in every last thing in this world. So, and that's what also the Ramcha talks about underneath the Messias Hashem. Hashem really created man like to take pleasure in him, in the spiritual. Really, this is the goal of the world, the Ramcha says. You think the physical pleasure is the ultimate pleasure? Under the Dalet is the Yid. Under the physical is the spiritual. So number one, the goal of this world is to uncover the Yid. And the goal of this world is really to get to where? To Olam Haba. Meaning everything in this world is to get us to the next world. Everything about here is like, is this going to help me get to Olam Haba? Or is this going to distract me from getting to Olam Haba? Is this going to like push me down? Or is this going to bring me forward to Olam Haba? The goal of the hay, the goal of Olam Hazeh, is to uncover the Yid, is to uncover the spirituality, and to recognize that Olam Haba is really the goal of this world. And so, and that's exactly what the Ramcha says. Makom ha'izin hazeh b'amad u'olam haba, ki hu ha'navra b'hachana ha'mitztarech l'zav ha'zeh. Ach ha'dara k'dei l'agi ha'makom ha'machos ha'fitzin hazeh, hu zeh olam. But the way we get to that world of the Yud, of the Olam Haba, is through this physical world, through the Yam, through the water. This world is like the hallway into the next world. We're just like passing through. So this is the hay that the world was created with. And this is why Chazal, if you look at the Beis Rabba underneath, they make a drasha. And they already said, Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Kacha, Bihi Baram. So Bihi Baram, it was created with the hay. But Abraham, you can mix around those letters. What else do those letters spell? Ela Tzadot Shemayim Ba'aretz Bihi Baram. You can read it Bihi Baram. He created it with the hay. And how else could you read it? The Avraham. He created this world, the Avraham, the Skutosh Avraham. Who was the master, the one who like teaches us how to uncover the Yud, right? The Hei Baram, how to take the hay of this world and to not just look at the physical, but to recognize in every physical thing there's also a Yud underneath, there's also a spiritual thing hidden underneath. So Avraham's the one that's able to do that. Avraham's the one who like is able to teach the world about Hashem. Hashem is the one who gave you this apple. Hashem is the one who's doing this for you. Hashem is the one who created this universe for us. Behibaram. That's Avraham. Okay? And so the second step to that is written on the stick over here is Kibaka Hashem Tzavakos. Meaning Number one, have hope. That's Ahakash Aka. Hashem's never going to leave you. Just like He didn't leave us in Shem, He didn't let us sink. He won't let you sink ever again. You're never going to fall to the a place where you won't be able to rise again. You're always going to be able to rise. If you're alive, you're able to rise. He won't let you sink. Number two, keep a cash on tobaccos. Number two is like the intellectual clarity. You have to recognize this is physical, this is spiritual, this is the Dalit, this is the Yud. What is this thing going to bring me to Olam Haba? Is this thing going to take me away from Olam Haba? Is this my Yetzirah that wants this? Or is this true? Is this real? We have to like take away that white part of the flame that's deceiving us and it makes it look like it's good, but it's really bad. And we need to have intellectual clarity about what's good and what's not good. Is this thing really good for me or is it really not good? Is it really like bad for me and I'm just rationalizing it, which is very easy to do. We have to have intellectual clarity. Like after Meva Eshem Shana, is this like, you know, like down the line, don't even think Meva Eshem, like in 10 years, is this like the direction I want to be going in? Is this thing going to help to bring me more Olam Haba? Is this going to help me like become the person I want to be? Is this going to help me like marry the type of person I want to marry? Like become the type of person I want to be so that I can marry the type of person I want to marry? We have to have intellectual clarity about like, this is physical, this is spiritual, this is good, this is bad. Kibaka Hashem Tzavakos. What's the Dalid, what's the Yid? And without that, then we're not able to be Hashem's soldiers. And so the second step also explains why there's hope. The first step is that you have hope, Hashem will save you, Hakash Haka, He won't ever let you sink. The second step is the intellectual clarity, and it also explains why there's hope. Because Hashem put us here to be His soldiers, to serve Him, to uncover the Yid, to find Him in everything, to be able to separate this is good and this is bad and this really is bad and this really is good, and to not rationalize. Okay? That's the second step to beating down that wave, that dangerous wave of the Yetzer Hara. This is really like a side point, but fits in Shmot Perek Yud, Yudzayin. So we see that what does a Malik do? This is exactly what a Malik is. A Malik is the one, the Yomer Kiyara Kis Kam Nach Mala Shama Malik Mizoidar. What does a Malik try to do? So Rashi says, Yadosha Kaish Baruch Hu, a Malik Shavabi Kisol Yotlam Nach Ma, Hashem's hand is raised over His royal throne, that He should have a war with Eva by Malik on me. That He's always going to be fighting against a Malik. Umahu Kis. So what's Kis? Anyone know what does Kis mean? Good. So it's really short for Kisei. Kiyar al Kisei Ka, right? Why is it written without the Aleph? Lona Mar Kisei. Ba'at Hashem Nechalak Lechatiyahu. And also Hashem's name is written only the Yud Kei, like half of it. Normally we refer to Hashem's name as Yud Kei Vav Kei, not just Yud Kei. Nishba Kesh Baruch Hu She'in Shmo Shalem Ve'in Kisolo Shalem Ashi Nechash Shmo Shalem Al Kalal. Hashem's name isn't complete until a Malik is wiped out of this world. Because what does a Malik try to do? A Malik tries to hide Hashem, right? A Malik, Asher Karcha Bederach, Be'Mashul Mikra. A Malik is, the gematria of a Malik is equal to 270, which is the same gematria as Safik. A Malik tries to introduce doubts to this world. No, it's just Mikra, it's just a chance. It's not Hashkacha. It's not Yad Hashem. They try to hide the Yid. And no, it's just physical. It's just coincidence. It's just, of course there's nature. Of course, like, if you do this, then you'll get more of this. And That's the opposite. That's a Malik. A Malik tries to hide the name of Hashem. As long as a Malik's in this world, the Kisei of Hashem isn't complete. What's our goal? Our goal is to reveal the Yud under the Dal, and not to hide the Yud. That's what they try to do. They try to hide the Yud. They try to say that, no, it's just Mikra. It's just chance. And our goal is the opposite. And so the second step is that intellectual clarity of recognizing, no, this is good, this is bad. This is physical, this is spiritual. This really will help me, this really won't help me. No matter how many people around me are doing it. I know, I have intellectual clarity that this is not good. And no matter how many people are doing it, if I know that this outfit is not tzanuah, right? Then no matter how many of my friends are wearing it, I know that this isn't good. So that's what intellectual clarity means. I know that this is not okay, and no matter how many people try to tell me it is okay, I know that it's not okay. And recognizing this is not going to help me get more elevated. This is not spiritual. This is not bringing me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the second step. What's the third step? So the third step, what's the third thing it says on the stick? So who sees? What's the third thing it says on the stick? Amin, Salah. So what is that? Amin. So just because you had intellectual clarity, just because you know, yeah, that dress is not so new. But when all my friends are wearing it, like, I kind of like, oh, maybe it is, and that's me. And like, all my friends are doing it, and maybe it is. And all my friends talk like that, so maybe it is okay. Just because you have intellectual clarity, but like, I thought it wasn't good, that doesn't mean that it's internalized. What's amin? So first of all, Chazal, this famous ideas, right, that's become very popular in recent years, about amin, right, like all the amin books and para amin groups and amin things. So Chazal talk a lot, what's amin? I'm a Rabbi Shubin, Levi Kola and amin, Yehesh Merabah, Mevarech B'chol Kocho, Korin Lug Za'am Zaydina, someone that says amin, Yehesh Merabah, like with all of his strength and kavana. Doesn't mean screaming necessarily, it means like, with your might, with your strength, with kavana. So Hashem like breaks up all the bad decrees from Shneimar. Before Paro, Yisrael, it's Nadev and Berchu Hashem. My time with before Paro, Mishum to Berchu Hashem because they blessed Hashem. Rabbi Chaya Bar Arba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. I feel Yesh Hashem Shel Avod Zara Mochalim. Now, even if he like did Avod Zara, he sins. Hashem forgives him. Tiv Hacha before Paro, Tiv Hatam Ki Paru Ahiv. Like, because we see the same word by Avod Zara, Hashem forgives. Amar Reishakish Kol Ana Amin B'chol Kolchal. Anyone that says Amin with all his like strength. They get to Gan Eden, the gates of Gan Eden are open for him. Pitzlu Sharim, Yavol Goy Tzadik, Shomer Emunim. Al Tzikrei Shomer Emunim, Ela Sh'omrim Amin. You say Amin, it opens up the gates of Gan Eden for you. My Amin, I'm a Rabbi Chanina, Kel Melech Nema. What does Amin stand for? Hashem is loyal. I believe Hashem is the king, right? And also the magician Yaakov Shmuley says, "I'm Rabbi Shub ben Gad. Kol an amin, but mazal zulcha lanot amin lolam haba." You say amin in this world. You get these three steps. The last step, which is amin in this world, zulcha lanot amin lolam haba. What does it help you get to? Help you get to the other side of the ocean, right? Help you get to olam haba. Why? What does amin? So clearly it means very important, right? Does all these great things. What is it, this magic recipe? The secret ingredient, we don't know what it is, and like, it's just like a skula, you say amin, and like, everything's solved, and you get to Olam Haba, and everything's good, and there's no bad decrees, because you said amin. So, what's amin? So we said, just because you have hope, and you know someone's going to save you, and he won't let you fall so low, he won't let you sink. And just because you have intellectual clarity that this is not good and this is good, that doesn't mean that you're able to do it. It doesn't mean that you're able to stay strong with it and maybe your Tahar in the end will kick in. No, like, everyone's doing it. It must be okay. Even though you had intellectual clarity and you really know that this isn't so okay. And you really know that, like, I should be spending time every day doing this. And you have intellectual clarity. This is good for me. I should spend time every day doing this. But, like, it's hard to make that time. So just because you have the intellectual clarity doesn't mean you're going to stick with the intellectual clarity. What is amin? Amin affirms. Amin internalizes what you know intellectually. I was just talking before to someone that amin is you have to say it. You have to say it verbally. The in between, where they say like the biggest distance in the world is the distance between a person's head and their heart. You can know something intellectually, that doesn't mean that you feel it. That doesn't mean that you act on it. It doesn't mean that you do it. And what's in between your head and your heart? Your mouth. But you say it. You say amen, you internalize it, you work on internalizing those things that you know intellectually and saying yes, right? And this is also what I did, David Amel says in Tillim, Ha'emanti ki adaber. I believe when I speak. The more you speak out the things that you believe, so say it. Say it to yourself. Say it. No, this is what I know is right. This is what I know is right. This is what I know is right. That's what Amen represents. Amen represents the affirming it with your mouth and internalizing all the things that you know intellectually, that this really is good for me and I have to make time for this. As hard as it is, as much as pressure there is, as much as busy as I am, this is what I know is right. Amen represents internalizing it, not just letting it be intellectual, like I know this, but then once I get back to all the pressure and all the work and all the hardships and all the challenges and all of that, like that fire that looks white at the tip, because it is tricky. It does, it appears white, it appears good. Amen helps us to internalize it, say it over and over. Think of something to say to keep yourself strong. The emunah that you know intellectually, you figure out intellectually, clarity, this is good, this is bad, to say it over and over to yourself. This is what's good for me. This is what's good for me. This is not good. This will not help me. This will not help me. This will not help me. I know this is what's going to help me. And say it over and over again to internalize it. That's what Amen represents. That affirmation that this is true, that's what's going to get us to Olam Haba. There's one more thing, though. Amen also has another aspect. What's the other thing that we do with Amen? So the other aspect of Amen is sometimes, you know, someone gives you a bracha, so what do you say? You say Amen. Why do you say Amen? Oh, you should, everything should be good for you, and, you know, everything should be in the right time, and be, you know. So what do you say? Amen. So you don't mean to affirm that. What do you mean you're Amen as? As like agreeing, but more like a tefillah to Hashem, like Amen, like Hashem, let it be true, right? Like, it's not just like affirming it, like nothing needs to be affirmed, nothing happened, right? It's a bracha that it should be true, you say Amen. It should be, like Hashem, let it be. Amen is a tefillah. And so those are the three steps so far that we have. And now this is really like the fourth step, which is like the other aspect of Amen. The three steps are number one, believing that Hashem is never going to let you sink, just like He didn't let them sink in the time. There's always hope. Hashem won't let us go that far if we're around still, if we're still alive. Hashem will help us. And believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKayakeh. The second step is intellectually realizing what's good, what's bad, what's the Dalet, what's the Yud, and uncovering the Yud from the Dalet, like letting it be out in the open and not hidden under the Dalet. And the third step is internalizing it and making it real. But the fourth step is really that other aspect of Amen, is Tefillah, and that's the Gemara in Sukkah, that without tefillah, we have no hope over our Yetzer Hara. Look what the Gemara says. I'm a Rebbe Shimon Ben Nachash. Yitzro shel adam mitzkabela b'chol yom mevakesh haritzar. Every day, our Yetzer Hara, like, comes up on us and wants to kill us, right? And wants us to get angry. And wants us to not be nice to our parents. And wants us to not be sensitive. And wants us to talk about other people and to find out who's this and who's that and who's going there and that and who's doing this and oh, and she meant this and she's going. And that's what the Yetzer wants us to do every day. It tries really strong. The Yetzer is really strong and really tricky. And we would never be able to overcome it. And if it's not for Hashem helping us, we have no hope over the Yetzer Hara. We don't. It's so strong. It's so tricky. It tries every day to get us to do those things again. And like, I thought I beat it yesterday. And again, it's trying to get me to wear that. And again, it's trying to get me to talk about that. And again, it's trying to get me to buy that. And again, it's trying every single day. The only way we could be overcome it in the end is tefillah. Imaleha Karish Berchu Ozerla, if not for Hashem helping us. So those are like the four steps, like the last thing is really two in one from the Amen. Those are the four steps that the Gemara is teaching us to overcome the Yetzer Hara. The only last point I want to make just is that where does Rebbe learn this from? The Rebbe learns this only from the sailors. He's able to learn this from the people that went through it already. The people that successfully crossed the sea, right? The people that already went through the maze, and I didn't think you, but the Maharat, the Ramchal in the Messiah Sasharim, the part of the cut off part of it, that he brings like a mashal, you know, like someone that, you know, those mazes you could walk through. So how do you figure out how to get through a maze? So the people that came through the maze already, so you ask them, oh, how did you go? You turned right there, you turned left there, you went straight here. Those are the ones who teach Rabbi how to navigate. This is how you do it. This is how you have to go through the steps. And so we should also look to those people that, like, they went through it already. They did it. They were successful in it. How did they do it? So he tells us, right? The seers told us, these are the ways to get through it. And so Be'ezer Hashem should help us that we shouldn't have so many ways and we shouldn't have so many pressures and challenges in our life. But if we do, and it's inevitable that we do, there's no such thing as getting through life without weeds, without challenges, without a Yitzhahara and this and that, and everyone's Yitzhahara is completely different depending on the individual. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us to navigate, to be able to hit the waves, and to make it through successfully. Have a great day, and we'll see you. It's so good to see everybody.